If you seriously need to save on groceries, and more for less is what you crave, Food City understands the struggle is real. That's why their high-quality store brands are such a great deal. Nobody does quality and savings like Food City.
Well, we got one full hour to play with here on Customer Appreciation Day from Gray Hodges here in Alcoa. Brian Rice, myself. We got Travis Terry with us right now. Travis, what's going on, man?
Another wonderful day.
We're rolling here at Gray Hodges. So you've got Customer Appreciation Day. That's what we do at each of these four locations. We rotate through every fall. If you've been a customer, if you're interested in what's going on, this is the day for you. And also, if you're a commercial customer, you have some vendors set up outside with their latest stuff as well.
We sure do. We got our food, and then we got some good vendors out here showing new products, and come by and take a look.
So what kind of customer? I mean, of course, every business manager, owner, and here everyone's a business owner because it's an employee-owned company. But who's coming in? Who's walking through the door looking for what? Who are we looking for?
We have everyone comes by. We have the professional plumbers in every morning and throughout the day. We have homeowners coming by. We have builders. As you mentioned, the commercial business has exploded. So we're eager to help anyone that comes through our door.
Hey, you got Timberlake cabinets that have been a big part of what you guys have done here. You can build those to so they're built to order. What does that mean for somebody who's looking for a new cabinetry, either in their bathroom or their kitchen?
We can make any design you would like. We can fit any budget you'd like. It's a full spectrum of what we can do to fill out your kitchen and your bathroom.
Well, when you guys installed, when I had it done at my house, Timberlake cabinets, it was all measured out. I mean, literally custom to the half an inch that it needed to be to put the double vanity and the new Timberlake cabinets in my bathroom. So, I mean, really, it's whatever you need.
So, and we're here in the kind of bath gallery here. That's what my favorite part about this location here in Alcoa is. You have all these great fixtures in here, but you also have the true bath gallery there where you can figure out exactly how that water is even going to flow out of those shower heads. Because a lot of them are visually appealing, but you got to know how they're actually going to work. You have that set up here.
Yeah, we did our addition roughly 6 years ago. What better way to sell a product? I can show it to you in a box, but when you see it function, you can make a better decision for yourself.
Well, and listen, when you're as dirty as Brian is, you need the high. You really need good water pressure to get all the grime off.
Right?
So it's good to be able to test it.
I very clearly get my hands dirty quite a bit working out in the.
Your bougie Brian is his nickname.
Working out in the yard. All right, if people want to check it out, you guys are here in Alcoa. You have four locations in East Tennessee, all locally owned, all employee owned. You've been at this for more than 70 years. The biggest thing there is if somebody comes in and they buy a product, they need service, whatever it is, you guys have been here, are going to be here for the local customer.
Sure, we're going nowhere. At this location alone, we've got 8 employees, but we have collectively 105 years experience.
That's pretty good.
So you're going to encounter someone here that's actually going to know the product and be able to help you.
It can help you build it, whether it's something custom, like the cabinets, or whether it's just buying a sink or a fixture off the rack here. You've got it for everybody.
Absolutely.
Travis, we always appreciate coming out here. I understand there's some music here, Customer Appreciation Day, too.
There is some music, and I taught the guy everything he knows.
That's important. So, like many of the employees here, also the music.
Right.
That's right. Teach him everything.
Hey, music is good. He plays out here. Doesn't he play every year out here?
Yeah, he plays every year. He
goes all over the place.
He travels all over the country. Yeah. He's
awesome.
He's good.
Yeah. So come out, check it out here. Serving lunch now for Customer Appreciation Day here at Gray Hodges. Travis, thanks for joining us so much. We always appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Travis Terry here at Gray Hodges in Alcoa. Eric, let's go ahead and hit our VFL and the NFL update. That's thanks to our friends Blue Water Climate Control, 865-299-2290 to book online. I just had them come out to do my fall maintenance at my house. Made a huge difference. They were able to remind me, hey, your airflow is low, which means your vent covers and your furnace filters are probably a little clogged. And indeed they were. So Blue Water Climate Control, get that taken care of for you. All right, here are the Vols on NFL rosters as we go in to week one. 21 former Tennessee players on active rosters. There are four more on practice squads and one on injured reserve. Interestingly enough, there are only four teams in all of the NFL, or excuse me, there are four teams in the AFC East, which used to have the highest concentration of Tennessee players. Remember when the Dolphins had like six or seven former balls? They have none. The entire AFC East has no Tennessee players.
Really?
In the North, Juwan James, Baltimore Ravens, Josh Dobbs, Cleveland Browns, Cam Sutton with the Steelers, no former Vols on the Bengals. The AFC South, Jalen Reeves-Maven, now Houston Texan, Morgan Cox, long snapper for the Titans, Colts and Jaguars, who have each had plenty of Tennessee players in the past, no former Vols. The AFC West, Trey Smith's with the Chiefs, the Raiders have three former Vols, Jakob Johnson, Kendall Vickers, Matthew Butler, and then, of course, Josh Palmer made a huge impact with the L.A. Chargers last year. Can't wait to see what he does this year.
I think he's going to have a big year this year.
No former Vols on the Broncos. The NFC East, much like the AFC East, just one Tennessee player in the entire NFC East. That's Derek Barnett with the Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, and Commanders. None. NFC North, likewise, just one Tennessee player, Velus Jones Jr. with the Bears. He is currently slotted as a starter for the Bears on the Week 1 depth chart.
Uh-oh.
As a rookie. Big for him. AFC South has six former Vols. Cordell Patterson's, of course, with the Falcons. Cade Mays on the Carolina Panthers is a rookie. Then the Saints have four former Vols. Alvin Kamara, Shy Tuttle, Marquez Callaway, and Alante Taylor. No Vols on the Buccaneers. The NFC West has Emmanuel Mosley and Juwan Jennings with the 49ers, both slated as starters. And then Daryl Taylor with the Seahawks, starting projected at linebacker. Practice squads, four former Tennessee players on practice squads. Jonathan Kongbo is on the Broncos practice squad after being cut from their active roster. Khalil McKenzie is on the Ravens practice squad. John Kelly back with the Browns on the practice squad after being cut in the preseason. Same for Theo Jackson with the Titans. And Ethan Wolf is on injured reserve. And that is our VFL in the NFL update, thanks to our friends at Blue Water Climate Control. We'll have stats on those next week.
Let's go.
Can't wait for that as the NFL starts tomorrow night. We will come back here to Gray Hodges in Alcoa. We'll take more of your phone calls. We'll talk more Tennessee and Pittsburgh. We'll also get in a little over-under coming up here in a few on the Eric Haynes Show. Adam is up first. Adam, you're on the EA Show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, man.
What's up, Adam?
Hey, I plan on making a trip, big party of us going up to Pitt this weekend. I think there's going to be a big turnout of Tennessee fans. What are you all projecting? How many fans make the trip?
I think there'll probably be 4,000 or 5,000. I think there'll be a good representation. Some people are saying more. There are a lot of all fans that live in the Northeast, from what I understand, based on some talks with the Alumni Association folks, but. I think it'll be a good turnout for Tennessee up there. You don't really know because the allotment that was made to Tennessee by Pittsburgh for group tickets was in the upper deck, and Tennessee fans looking at the website saw a lot better seats available for the same price. So they didn't buy from the upper deck allotment that Pitt made to Tennessee. So I'll be interested to see what the orange looks like in the stands on Saturday, but I think you'll have 4,000 or 5,000 minimum.
I think it'd be
the orange always pops.
I think it'd be a good turnout. Just fact, we never get an opportunity to play Pitt. I think Tennessee fans just like going places they never get to go very seldom. And Pitt's a big town. People like to visit big towns. That's why I like to go. Plus, I'm a big baseball fan. The Pirates are home that weekend. I've heard nothing but great things about the PNC Park. So I think it'd be great. Just looking at the city and the skyline, the background of the stadium, it looks absolutely gorgeous. So.
And the UT Knoxville Alumni Association is doing an event at the Pirates game on Friday night. You can check that out at alumni.utk.edu.
Well, I'm not an alumni, but I sure will pass the word. But it's just funny to me that they've got us a favorite and Pitt ranked higher. That's just kind of funny to me, but. I think it could come down to who has the ball last, but I'm not worried about the defense of, everybody's going nuts because we didn't get the backfield last week versus Ball State. I just don't think Heupel and his staff showed much in the so much the playbook, which is fine with me, but there's nothing to be concerned about. I think if we play our game and just get in the backfield and, you know, keep them contained, I think we'll come out with top multiple scores. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've got September 24th circle more than I do this week, obviously, so that's just
it's
me.
It's going to be a lot of fun as long as Tennessee takes care of business here over the next 2 weeks. Whatever Florida does over the next 2 weeks, that's going to be one of those mark it on your calendar type games for Tennessee fans, because you think this is the time, and you've got the team to do it. Florida may or may not be struggling. We'll find out, but I think that's going to be a really fun matchup here coming up in a couple weeks. Got to get through all these games first. Pittsburgh,
worry about Pitt. Worry about Pitt.
The fans, though, can worry about Florida. Teams just got to be focused on Pitt.
That's fair.
I appreciate the phone call, 865-656-9900. Let's talk to Steve. Steve, you're on the EA show. Good morning.
I'm not an expert on the intricacies of a run offense, but a lot of times when I watch, I wonder why doesn't our quarterback keep it early in the game as opposed to waiting for the running backs to make their way through the game. How much of an option is it really for the QB to run on an RPO?
Well, there's different. Yeah, you just said it. So there's two main different ones. There's your zone read. It's not called the read option. The read option is when you read something and you have someone to pitch the ball to. The zone read is when you have the ball as the quarterback and you stick it in the running back's belly and you're reading the end man on the line of scrimmage or a linebacker. And depending on your read, whatever they do, if they dive down, you keep it and you run around the edge. That's a zone read play. The run pass option is put the ball in his belly, and depending on what the defense does, if they collapse, you zip the ball and you're actually throwing the ball. Both present problems to the defense. Both are necessary, especially playing up tempo, to provide that kind of pressure, because they don't know. The play call, it looks the same. Formation looks the same, snap looks the same, but on one play, the quarterback's going to hand it or keep it, and on the next play, he's going to hand it or throw it, and you don't really know what they're going to do, and it really forces you as a defense to play really vanilla, generic defense. You don't have enough time to dial up the perfect defensive call because they're already snapping the football, which is why running the ball is so important and why for them stopping the run is so important, which is why you see us zipping the ball outside on these little short, quick throws all over the field all game long, and it's because that's what the defense has given us. You know, the up-tempo zone read run pass option offense is no different than anything, right? You want to take what the defense gives you. This just gives you a chance to do it within the actual play instead of calling a play and then hoping you call it right and then going to the line of scrimmage and then calling a new play, but it gives the defense a chance to be right more often. This way, you don't give the defense a chance to be right as frequently, which is why most tempo offenses put up ungodly numbers and have tons of success. So, I would anticipate seeing both zone read calls and run pass option calls, where Hooker's going to have a lot of decisions to make. But I feel confident in him for that. Even last year, as a first time starter, he was incredible at reading. Making decisions as to when to hand it, when to run it, when to hand it, when to throw it. He did that, except the Vanderbilt game, almost flawlessly.
All right, we appreciate it. 865-656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Ainge Show. From the text box, Andrew says, can you please remind folks that the guys who vote in polls and the guys who pick the lines are nowhere close to the same people? That's true. The betting lines are very different. I was talking to our buddy Tyler White, who joins us on Thursdays, and we were talking about the rankings discussion we had yesterday. Vegas guys definitely are not prisoner to how they rank somebody after week one. The numbers aren't. The computer models certainly aren't. That's what I love the ability for voters to look at everything that a team's done, how a game played out versus what the numbers say, but also the computer models are much more often together. Austin says, if Tennessee beats Pitt and Florida beats Kentucky Saturday, both going to September 24th, 3-0, do you think our home game gets the 3:30 time slot on CBS over Texas A&M Arkansas? Yes, I think if either team wins on Saturday, CBS will pick up that game. Selfishly, I would prefer that they don't, because I think a night game at Neyland Stadium for Tennessee,
cool?
Florida would be,
my goodness,
the absolute ridiculous atmosphere. It'd make Ole Miss last year look like a tea party. But I think it's going to be the CBS 3:30 game. Mark says, I get tired of hearing people bring up stuff that we struggled with before. Every year, every team's different. He's good at running. He's going to be good at running against everybody he plays, most likely. It's not just a Tennessee thing, talking about quarterbacks and running quarterbacks. Keaton Slovis, I don't think, is a guy who's going to pose that threat, but Anthony Richardson in 2 weeks does. That's what Mark's referring to.
Slovis is athletic. I mean, it's not like he's a statue, but, yeah, he's not going to beat you running the football.
Yep. Kyle says, how about it, how easy it was to see growth in Joe Milton? The guy's a Mack truck. He is. He throws football well and didn't appear hesitant to run it at all on Thursday night when he came in a backup role.
I don't think he looked any different to me.
Think he looked the same? Just more confident?
Better, yeah, but I thought he looked, other than missing a couple balls, I thought he looked really good last year.
Yeah.
He had those glaring holes in his game, and it ended up ultimately costing him his job. But yeah, I mean, I think he's a good football player.
On the flopping rule, they shouldn't be allowed to sub anybody other than the hurt player. No huddle for coaches to coach during the injury timeout. Just one player leaves the field. I think that would be a very fair rule to implement, but
it's not.
They didn't
fair. It's the only thing that makes sense at all.
The teams are not supposed to huddle up with coaches, but they've not ever enforced that.
Well, that's the problem. It loses its luster a little bit if they can't huddle up and talk to the team. Mm-hmm. They get a free timeout mm-hmm. every time a player falls.
Let's talk to Terry. Terry, you're on the Eric Gaines Show. Good morning.
What's going on, fellas?
All right.
I'm pretty good. I wish that when we'd get a new coach in here that he wouldn't go through just 1 year and then everybody's like, oh, this is our year. Oh, this is the year. You know, even though we broke a bunch of the offensive records, you know, Hooker's got the so many games in a row. We've got like 4 games in a row where we've scored, 45 points or more, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish we could actually get through the year and be like, yes, we got a winning record, because we're going to get – Hendon Hooker's probably going to be gone at the end of the year. So next year is going to be kind of iffy. Everybody's – just listening to everybody talk about Joe Milton. I think he looked the same. If you didn't really see him, you're not going to see Joe Milton really do anything unless we're up by 45 points again, you know, because we're fixing to hit the stretch where we've got all our SEC games and everything, and – there's going to be no mercy for none of that. We looked amazing. I just want us to have a winning record, and, you know, let's just not jump on the Josh Heupel's the greatest thing other than fried chicken, you know, bandwagon, you know what I mean? Let's just give them a chance to have a couple of good years, and hopefully when we get a team full of them super seniors like all these other guys do, or all these teams with all these transfers, you know, because that's pretty much what it'll probably be. We're going to have guys that want to go to school here, but then since it's so easy to just be like, oh, I don't like this program, now I'm going to go play here. Or my coach went to this program, so it's so easy to do that. Hopefully we'll get one of these super teams. Hopefully we'll have a team with a bunch of players that have developed here and tried to stay here and just do something good, you know, win a national championship later on down the road. I am completely positive about Josh Heupel, but like, it's just been 1 year, people, and one game. We played, you know, we didn't play really anybody yet. Have a good morning, fellas.
All right, Terry, we appreciate it.
He's hesitant. I don't think he's wrong for that.
Yeah.
I am, too, a little bit. I mean, we played Ball State. Ball State was a JV team, and we're the varsity team. And it looked like it was supposed to.
Yep.
It was a mauling. But now you got to go play another varsity team. We'll see what happens.
This note on Kentucky before we get out for this segment. Matt Jones reported on Kentucky Sports Radio this morning that Chris Rodriguez and Jordan Wright of Kentucky are not under injury. They're not under in-house suspension. Both of their playing availabilities is under the NCAA. They are dealing with NCAA issues. Chris, neither the exact violation or the exact issue has not been reported on either of them. There are some rumors around both, but neither have been cleared by the NCAA at this point. The expectation is neither will play on Saturday.
Uh-oh.
So when Mark Stoops last week goes, I didn't say suspension, you said suspension. They're not eligible to play, according to the NCAA right now.
Which is a suspension.
Problem for Kentucky if that doesn't get resolved sooner rather than later. It's going to be a problem
today.
Sunday.
Like
or Saturday.
Like today. They need that solved tomorrow.
Yeah.
Good for the Wildcats.
That's right. We will come back. We'll play a little over-under. We'll get to more of your comments as well on Tennessee and Pittsburgh. Coming up, the Eric Haines Show rolls on from Gray Hodges in Alcoa. Coming up next.
All right, we're back here on the Eric Haines Show right here from Gray Hodges.
All right, we didn't do it right at 11 o'clock because we were chatting with Travis here, but it is in the 11 o'clock hour on a Wednesday, which means it's time to play a little over-under thanks to our friends at Avalon. AvalonGolf.com. You can make your tee time there, and you might even get to go play with Eric.
You can't play with me unless you're really bad.
You can play around here.
I want to be. I want to be the better golfer.
Eric might hit into your group.
I've done that.
I'm not surprised.
I've done that.
Logan has the numbers. What do you have for us this morning?
All right, guys. Tennessee points Saturday against Pitt. Over under 34.5.
34.5 is a big number, but I don't know that it's unexpected for what you have for Tennessee. What do you think?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the over barely. Like my prediction. No, I'm taking the under because I've already said that I think it's going to be 34-31. So I'll go under.
Okay, he's taking the under. I'll take the over. I think Tennessee scores 38.
I'm going to take the under. I have this as a 34-24 type of battle. I think Tennessee's going to win this by double digits, cover the spread, but I just got to stick with my prediction that I had earlier in the week. West Virginia sack Pitt quarterback Keaton Slovis 5 times last Thursday night. Sacks allowed by Pitt this week against Tennessee. Over under 2.5.
See, this is a really good one because I could see Hinton Hooker getting sacked a couple times, but up to 3, that's what makes it tough. 2.5 is a great number here. I'm going to take the under. I think he is sacked twice.
Are we doing sacks for Tennessee or sacks for Pitt?
Sacks for Pitt against Tennessee.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That's not okay. Cool.
Go ahead, Logan.
I'm going to take with how fast that they're going to have to get the ball out. They have a really good defensive line. I'm going to take the under. I think it's around 2, but I think Josh Heupel has to work around that really good defensive line for Pitt. So give me the under.
I'm going to take the under 2, but I'm also going to predict that Hendon Hooker has to run the ball a lot. They may only get 2 sacks on him, but there's going to be quite a few pass plays where he has to break the pocket and scramble and go try to make a throw or throw it away or take off and run or whatever. I think they are going to be pretty disruptive, but I'll take the under on the actual sacks allowed.
Alabama points against Texas this Saturday, over under 41.5.
I think Alabama is going to take Texas to the shed. So give me the over. I think they will score a ridiculous amount of points. So give me the over. I think Nick Saban's been hearing about Texas and Steve Sarkisian and all that. I don't think Nick Saban ever has any mercy on his former assistants, and he will not show Sark any in this game. Logan?
I'm going to take the under. I mean, 6 touchdowns, that's a lot. I know that Alabama's offense, one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the country. The offensive line looked pretty good. They've got to have some guys emerge at receiver. Jahmyr Gibbs as running back is an absolute stud. 6 touchdowns is still a lot. So give me the under. I think it's about, anywhere from 35 to 40.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some field goals in there. I'm going to take the under as well, but not by a lot. I think Texas will show out for a little while, which is why the number will be lower. I think they may give them some problems for a little bit, but ultimately Bama will be too much, and they'll still put up a lot of points. It wouldn't surprise me if they score 35. It wouldn't surprise me if they score 60. Like, I don't know.
Alrighty, last one. Titans begin the season against the Giants on Sunday. Regular season wins for the Titans this season, over under 9.5.
This is the Vegas win total, by the way. Do I believe in the Titans or not? Give me the under. I think they win 9. And they're a borderline playoff team. Maybe I'm give the Colts too much credit. I don't know. But give me the under. I'm not going to believe in the Titans this year.
Yeah, give me the under, too. I mean, I said this back before the summer, back whenever the Titans opened up camp. Watching Ryan Tannehill's first press conference since he spoke to the media after the Bengals lost in the playoffs, that guy looks completely defeated. And also, I don't know about the health of Derrick Henry. He's already sustained a couple of injuries, had a couple of injuries the past several years. Once a running back deals with the injuries that he has had, I question their long term. He's a freak of nature. I get it. But there's been too much wear and tear on his body. So give me the under.
Yeah, I'll take the under too. 10-7 in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You're a great team. Mm-hmm. You're not an all time great team, but you're really, really good. Do I think this Titans team is going to be really, really good? I don't. So I'm going to have to take the under.
We are a Titans-hating show today.
I kind of always am.
It's all right. That's how we play over-under, thanks to our friends at Avalon. Let's set a couple of the text box before we pause to get ready to find out what we learned today. Jeremy in Austin, Texas. My prediction for UT Pitt, 40-18 Big Orange, including Tennessee scoring 2 on a safety.
Give me all that.
I like it. EA is really hyping Pitt. He did the same for Joe Milton last season. Let's hope he's wrong again.
What did Joe Milton do wrong last year other than miss a few deep balls?
That was it.
Did he turn the ball over? Mm-mm. No. Did he read the plays wrong?
Nope.
He read all the plays right. He actually was really good at it. You know who else hyped him up?
Everybody else.
Literally everybody in that entire building, including the head football coach that you're obsessed with. So you can kiss my booty. He's a good football player, and he will be a good football player.
Yep.
You know who else thought Joe Milton should be the starting quarterback?
Literally everybody.
Hendon Hooker.
Yeah. And until he got hurt. Now, eventually,
this isn't a knock Joe Milton situation. No. A praise Hendon Hooker situation. Yeah. They don't have to be. It doesn't need to be both.
He took it.
Chance to play, and he took it and ran with it, and he hasn't looked back, and he should be, and he is commended for that all the time.
Ken said, Florida's an ironclad automatic loss this year, just like every other year since the late 70s. Baffles me how you guys nonchalantly pick Tennessee to beat Florida like it's nothing.
I'm not picking them to beat Florida like it's nothing. I'm worried. I already told you, if they whip Kentucky this weekend, I don't know what my pick will be for Tennessee-Florida.
Yeah.
If we go struggle against Pitt and they whip Kentucky.
Which I think they will with Chris Rodriguez out.
Ooh. Anthony Richardson looks like he did last week, 2 weeks in a row. At that point, it's not a one-time deal.
No.
You're looking at just maybe who he is. There's a reason he's in the top 10 in draft picks in every single mock NFL quarterback draft list.
Now, ironclad automatic loss, I don't know how you arrive at that conclusion either.
Well, no, because we've peed away how many chances to beat them over the last however many years?
Yeah.
When they weren't any better than us and we still couldn't find a way to win? So that to me is not an ironclad loss. That's more of just a self-destruction. I don't believe Heupel's teams will self-destruct.
Yeah, staff, different personnel than all of those problems.
If they get beat, it's because the other team's better and played better, not because we self-destructed. Yeah.
All right, we will come back, wrap up this edition of the Air Canes Show, find out what we learned as we return to Gray Hodges in Alcoa. It's Customer Appreciation Day here next.
Time to find out what we learned today here on the Air Canes Show. you can't take me anywhere. It's time to find out what we learned today on the Eric Ain't Show.
I just got that, by the way.
Did you? Is that why you just started laughing?
Okay.
Gambuzo's Barbershop.com. Two locations to serve you better. Voted the number one barbershop in the country several different times. They want to help you look good. You got to look good, feel good, play good, right? That's the motto. Do it with Gambuzo's Barbershop, Gambuzo's Barbershop.com. What did we learn today, boys?
I learned this. I didn't bring it to the show yet, but I will right now. Kentucky unveiled new men's basketball uniforms yesterday. They have finally gotten rid of the checkerboard. So they will no longer be displaying who owns their program.
Daddy Barnes.
But, and I'll give Kentucky fans credit for this. Are you listening, Kentucky fans? Because people were ripping on me yesterday for this. I understand that most Kentucky fans didn't like that there were checkerboards on the uniforms, and you all complained too. I get it.
Yeah, because Kentucky shouldn't be stealing Tennessee stuff.
But
it's Kentucky.
Your administration had not listened to you until this point. I'm proud of them for doing it. Bye-bye checkerboards on Kentucky stuff.
That's good.
Now they need to get them off the football uniforms. Now that's football end zone because Kentucky's not the checkerboard.
So. Well, Kentucky's a basketball school, so it's going to take football a while to get that done. Mm-hmm. Mark Stoops just needs to try to get his boys ready to play.
Whichever ones are available to him. Ready to play. We learned that Pittsburgh is an interesting matchup for Tennessee.
This game, if we played it in week 8, when we knew everything about the other, we knew everything about, because by then you are who you are. Mm-hmm. Then I think that this game would be, I think it would be an even closer line. But we don't know all of that.
Yep.
I think a lot of that line comes from, can Pitt stop Tennessee from scoring a bunch of points? That's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about their offense against our defense.
That's a tough one.
You can say what you want. I will be surprised if West Virginia isn't winning football games this year. I'll be surprised. I'm not going to put my own money on it, but I will be surprised if West Virginia is not winning games. Pitt beat a good football team. In week 1, and ESPN disrespected the fans. Just listen to Pat Narduzzi. He'll tell you. He'll tell you.
It's all ESPN's fault.
Remember yesterday I said there's two teams we can't lose to this year? One of them is Pittsburgh and the other one is South Carolina because I will turn the TV off when they go to Pat Narduzzi after the game.
Yeah.
I will turn the TV off. I won't even watch it. Same with Shane Beamer. We need to win this football game.
Mike says I'm going to start listening to Pitt Radio this week for some positivity.
Well, am I sound negative?
I don't think it's negative. I think it's just a...
It's respect. I think they're a good football team. What's wrong with that?
You have to go play them this week.
I think we have a good football team, and I think they have a good football team.
Yep.
Both can be true. Don't at me with stuff like that.
It should be a fun one this weekend. We learned that both of us hate the Titans, apparently.
I don't hate the Titans. I'm just not a believer. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Am I allowed to say that, or is someone going to have a problem with that, too?
Cody said, you guys said that there was ever a give-me year to beat the Gators, it would be this year. No. What we said was... If not now, when? If you're not going to beat Florida in year one of Billy Napier, how do you then project to beat them in future years? It's not a gimme win.
It's supposed to be a down Florida team, which should make it an easier opportunity to win the game. Then you watch them play, and you wipe that clean off the board, and you say, nope, they are well-coached, and they're dialed in, and they're playing really well. So I don't know what the line will be in that game. I bet it'll be real close.
Yeah, and... Look, I don't know that this is a great Florida team over the course of the year. They look good right now. They will probably still look good in 2 weeks when they play Tennessee. I don't think they are deep enough to compete for a championship in this division. I don't think they're good enough to be within probably 20 points of Georgia. I don't think many teams in the country are. But as Florida gets more and more beat up as the year goes on, they do not have a lot of depth. It's the same thing with LSU. It's what happens when a new coach takes over. You have guys leave. There was a reason the last coach left, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't. If you've heard that Florida is a gimme, in my opinion, then you've not heard correctly. They are still very capable of beating Tennessee in 2 weeks. It will be a very difficult game. But the message is how important it is for Tennessee to beat a coach in year one, because you weren't able to do that with Will Muschamp, and it hurt you in ensuing years. You weren't able to do that with Jim McElwain, and it hurt you in ensuing years. That's why it's important. That's why Tennessee's got to put so much in it. Team can't think about it for 2 weeks. They've got Pittsburgh this week who could beat them, and Akron next week.
They don't
who
care
can
about
throw
Florida
some punches.
At all right now.
Can't.
They have a good football team they have to go on the road and try to beat on the road. Mm-hmm. You're not being a naysayer by saying Pitt has a good football team or Florida has a good football team or Kentucky has a good football team. LSU could have a good football team. They have a long way to go. But anytime you have the athletes, you have to say could. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some teams you watch play and you go, that team just can't be good. They don't have players to be good. LSU does. So the word that has to be in there is could. Not should, but could, because they have a lot to prove.
Yeah. Ken, following up on his ironclad automatic loss to Florida comment, says this, quote, how is it an ironclad automatic loss? It's called math. Lost 16 of the last 17. 29 to 36 since 1977. That doesn't have anything to do with what they're doing on the field this year. It doesn't.
Literally nothing.
That's the thing. Using these, if you have a program like Alabama that has had it rolling year after year, like they have since Nick Saban took over, it's fair to talk about the recent history and the long-term history because all the same people are there. Nick Saban's still the head coach. He's still running similar systems. Florida, through all that, has gone through multiple head coaches. Tennessee's gone through multiple head coaches. There's not a recurring theme every year that says, here's why you lost that game. It's something different. So Josh Heupel comes into a situation where you just go play the football game. And they will in 2 weeks. Got to play Pitt first. We will continue to break that
and
game
Pitt
down.
Pitt is a good football team. Remember that. We're a touchdown favorite. I understand that. They are a good football team.
We learned that Chris...
So are we.
We learned that Chris Rodriguez is out for Kentucky, and it's not an injury. It's not an it's not a Kentucky suspension related to his arrest. It is an NCAA suspension or just a NCAA hasn't cleared him to play.
Mm.
Those are always tenuous.
He must have taken a couple steps past the note taker. Maybe he had a Derrick Rose situation.
Maybe.
Maybe he had someone take a test for him or something.
No. This is that's initial eligibility. This is, I believe,
P-dirty in a cup?
No, this is a benefit. The NCAA doesn't regulate those.
Okay.
This is a eligibility situation from a monetary standpoint.
Ah.
So.
Classic.
NIL money's NIL money, unless it's not.
Well, my best friends call me Cash. That's all he subscribed to. No big deal. Let him play.
Appreciate everybody here at Gray Hodges for having us out today. Thanks to Timberlake Cabinets. Gray Hodges has Timberlake Cabinetry. Options for every price range, locally owned, employee owned. That is Gray Hodges. Four locations. Check them out, EA. Tomorrow we will check you out from Pals on Callahan Drive.
Love coming to Gray Hodges, man. Every time we get to come. Come on out. Use these guys. They're fantastic.
Always appreciate it. Always appreciate it. See you tomorrow on the Eric Haines Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.